You're listening to Church Unplugged, the podcast of Christ Community Chapel. Today, our topic is artificial intelligence. So this is something that has become a really big conversation in our society. It's a really powerful tool in technology that's becoming more and more prevalent, whether it's in schools or on the internet. And so we want to talk about how should we as Christians think about something like this, and maybe how should we engage it? Welcome into Church Unplugged. Welcome into Church Unplugged. I'm Jimmy Cozy, part of the team here at CCC. The rest of my guests today are Zach Weirach, Joe Coffey, and Stacey Nadaro. And our topic today is AI, not Allen Iverson, the great Philadelphia 76er basketball player, but artificial intelligence, which has become a more and more common part of our culture. It's kind of all the rage, whether it's ChatGPT or AI, other AI interfaces. The technology is really powerful and really popular, and a lot of people are having conversations about it. So we thought maybe we should think about talking about what is AI, and then how should Christians think about this? How should they interact with it? How does it intersect our faith?
It's pretty controversial, too. I mean,
in some ways, yeah.
Yeah, people are excited about it, but there's other people that are pretty nervous about it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think AI is such a big topic. Yeah. So there's so many ways to go. But I think the starting point should be just a simple idea, which is this, that ideas have consequences. So I think when you're thinking about artificial intelligence, it's interesting because a lot of the conversation is around present applications, right? Like, oh, you can use ChatGPT to do this, or you can create this, or you can. But I think as Christians, we're not just thinking about the current applications, but the future of, hey, where is this going, and where will this take us, and what will this shape in us and through us, and will this be good for our communities and for our families and for us as individuals? And so you got to kind of have the conversation in both those ways. And the way I would compare it is, you know, my oldest son, Deacon, who's 16, is fascinated with AI. He's always coming home talking different articles, or, you know, he's only thinking about right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, watch this, what I can do on my phone. I can create this, or I can, versus, you know, kind of me being a little older, as I'm going, man, where's this going to be in a year? Where's this going to be in 10 years? What's it going to look like for Deacon when he's 26? Is it going to be good for him or bad for him? And I think we have to try to push ourselves to live more in the adult world as Christians. Hey, what is the ripple effect of this? And less in the kind of moment by moment sensational world. Right. And I think when you do that, it opens up a whole new conversation.
Oh, yeah. And I think, I mean, there are obviously some great usage of AI that's going to benefit a lot of people, I think, if I understand it right. I mean, from in the medical field and a diagnosis and all of that, right? So I think that as Christians, we need to not see the boogeyman behind every tree. But I think there are two things. One are, I think, Zach, you touched on, unintended consequences,
right. Yeah.
Because ideas do have consequences. And there are unintended things that happen. And then the other thing is, what does technology like this, not just what can we use it for, but what will it do to us?
Yeah.
That's the other thing that we didn't, I don't think when we created social media, or when social media was created, they thought about either one of those things.
Mm-mm.
They thought about what it would do, and they had this idea of what it would do. They were not able, it's really hard to think through all the unintended consequences, but nobody has questioned until just recently what social media actually does to us as a culture.
Yeah.
Right now, they're starting to look at all the social and emotional damage is happening among those who are raised in social media, and isolation, and relationships are not being formed like they have for centuries, for all of history. Things have changed because of social media. So
I would maybe even add a third category of, you know, I think for the most part, technology is probably, I would at least consider it morally neutral, but with a tool that's powerful, what can somebody who wants to do bad things do with it? You know, AI is an incredibly powerful
That's
already happening.
Tool. Yeah.
Yeah. And AI for maybe the first time, is something that is powerful enough to start to separate us from reality. One of the things that, you know, way back in the 60s, when people were experimenting with hallucinogens, one of the things that would happen when it happened enough is that they could not separate between reality and a hallucination. And at that point, they would be clinically insane. I mean, when you can't determine what's real, what's not real, you're in terrible trouble. in some ways, we have to imagine a society where you can't tell what's real.
Right.
I know when I'm watching a movie and when I'm watching even a documentary, or when I'm seeing a picture of a person or what I think is a video of a person, what's not a video of that person, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, AI changes all that, right?
Well, we've already experienced that. There was, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago from this recording, there was an instance where someone had made adult videos of Taylor Swift that she wasn't actually in, and they weren't, but they were through AI, were able to simulate the experience. And it's like, and in that way, those that are consuming that content, they don't even need it to be real, to be real. For them to lust after Taylor Swift, they don't need it to be real.
No.
They don't. And you're right. The lines are getting.
Well, and then you think of Taylor Swift. It's just, like her word against what you're actually seeing, right?
You know it's not real. What happens when the teenager at your high school can make a video of your daughter?
Right. That's right.
How do you convince people it's not real, right? For her sake. So I think what's interesting is that technology advances so quickly. What it exposes in us, I think, is the need for a guiding ethic, a guiding morality, and in a culture that really has largely rejected that in favor of individual morality. The consequence is it's in some ways it's the technological Wild West.
Yeah,
and when we have and the funny thing is states are operating differently. So some states are trying to get involved, but of course. How can you limit it in – how do you limit the internet or artificial intelligence in Rhode Island but not in Maryland? I mean, that's just absurd and asinine. You can't –
Yeah, you can't. It doesn't matter.
You can't do that. So what we're in need of is this ethical, guiding, moral principle. But, of course, that could only possibly come from one place, and that's God.
Yeah.
But we're a culture that has largely moved on from God. And what's interesting is the technology is exposing our need, I think – for someone who can see not just the effects of one individual idea, but can see the ramifications so that when God says, this is not good, he's not just saying that thing, but he's saying what that thing will lead to and what that will lead to and what that will lead to.
Right.
And so we desire omniscience. We desire omnipotence, but we don't have it.
Yeah.
And so then what? Right, we're really become at the mercy of these tech companies and entrepreneurs, and hoping we can somehow keep up with them morally and ethically, which of course we can't do.
I think I just listened to a podcast where it looks like in the social media realm they are like backtracking now, and the government is seeking to like establish some level of ethics and
It's too late,
but it's too late. Right, but about like, oh my goodness, how much further
that
down the road
are
we?
Genie is out of the bottle. Yeah. And that's what I remember hearing from at least one tech executive saying that AI is a million times more powerful than social media. Now, Jimmy, you have done more research and been involved in conversations with somebody who is really kind of on the cutting edge of AI.
And you've been exploring ways that we as a church can.
So what say ye?
I think there's a lot of stuff that comes to mind. I feel like the first thing is what I said earlier. I do feel like I think of when I'm not thinking as far down the road maybe in terms of the potential ramifications, but the current capability of the tool, because in that respect right now, though, that's the way I would view it, it's a tool that can be used to do really good things because it has a lot of power, or it can be used in really poor ways as well. I think that you have to be – there is definitely an element of having to be really careful with it, because it seems so smart and can come up with answers so quickly, but you just have to understand that it's not all-knowing. Somebody has to inform it. And in this case, that's the tech companies behind it. And so, you might have heard, at least at the time we're recording this, we're kind of on the tail end of sort of a 2-week controversy
over Google's
AI interface, because people were doing things like saying, hey, generate a picture of the founding fathers, and they were coming back with different skin colors than we know that they have. Or they were saying, they were asking it to write a poem praising a particular political candidate, and it would. And then asking you to write a poem praising a particular political candidate, and it wouldn't. And the reason why is because, and I'm obviously, just to admit, I'm not a fully an expert on these things, but the way that it works is every AI is powered by a language model, which is basically just a brain. It's a bunch of information that's dumped into the AI that the AI is now capable. That's just its knowledge base. Yeah. So it makes decisions and it tries to make inferences and it tries to respond based on the brain that's inside of it. But because that brain has to right now be informed by the perspective of a person who's or a company who's creating it, then it's natural that that brain would reflect the ideological leanings of the person who is informing it, which you right. can see how that could get – if AI becomes more and more ubiquitous in our society, you can see that that would actually give a pretty high level of control to maybe people we don't want to have that control control over the information that we're able to get, the way the information is presented to us. Even morality can be, you know, in some ways held up to this. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have a situation where a tech company like Google is the one feeding the brain of an AI interface that everybody interacts with and makes decisions and helps you send your emails at work and helps you. And it's like all of a sudden you are governed without knowing it by the ideology of the CEO of Google.
And maybe even more appropriately, your children are.
Yeah.
Right. Because whereas you may, as an adult, have a level of cynicism when you put a prompt in an AI.
They do not.
They do not. Right.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, you know, it like Zach, you said that one of the things that it's doing is because there's no one to adjudicate kind of the environment, it makes us realize our need for God. I also think the darker side of that is it's allowing people to essentially take the position of God
right?
to say, yeah. I'm going to control the information that you're allowed to see, or I'm going to control the information that goes into this interface so that when you interact with it, you know, it's just like the water that the fish swims in. The fish yeah. doesn't know any differently, but there's a whole set of facts that might be excluded or not even.
Okay, now what do you do as parents then of with this thing emerging right now? Zach, what are you doing with your kids mm-hmm. with AI being at their fingertips with at yeah. least a couple of apps?
Well, I think there are two important guiding principles here that my wife and I try to apply when we think about technology. One is when I'm not sure, I don't take a step forward. I mean, technology changes so quickly, and my kids are always asking me about things that I don't know anything about. So I don't mind saying no mm-hmm. until I know. Does that make sense? Like, until yeah. I just, hey, let me look into that. Come on, Dad. It's not a big deal. It's, and I said, well, you know, I don't know enough to right. answer that. So one is I just admit when I don't know, and I don't mind disappointing them. Through I say, hey, you got to give me a week. You got to give me time to read about this. And the second thing is, I think social media is a good example where it showed us too many, because all the data says social media is harmful for kids. Too many Christian parents weren't thinking critically about it. They were just kind of going along with it because it was kind of the way things were going. And that's not saying you can't allow it or you can't. I'm just saying I think we always have to be careful that we aren't just saying yes to something
yeah,
because there's sure. a cultural yes to it, but that we are doing the work. I mean, my biggest enemy as a parent is laziness on my yeah. part, right? Yeah. Just that's I mean, that's true of candy. That's true of bedtime. That's true of yep. discipline. That's true of – and it's no less true of technology. So I have to realize that if I want any – fighting chance of making sure technology is not shaping my children in harmful ways, I have to fight against that yeah. tendency to just give in or just give a cheap no or a cheap yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Because a cheap no frustrates your kids and I think makes you lose credibility, and a cheap yes, you know, acquiesces parenting to a tech company instead right. of to you to whom God has given that child. So I think that's two good starting points. Yeah. When you don't know, say no.
You've been listening to Church Unplugged, the podcast of Christ Community Chapel. In each episode, we're going to look at topics and questions that are related to our faith in Jesus and to the way that it plays out in everyday life. We want your feedback. We want your suggestions. If you've got ideas or questions that you'd like to hear answered on the show, you can email us at churchunplugged@ccchapel.com. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.